In Genesis chapter 37, there's a 17-year-old boy. And we know this young boy. His name is Joseph. And he thinks he's got the world on a string, if you will. You know, his yo-yo. Anyway, Joseph's father, Jacob, has made for Joseph a coat of many colors. And here comes Joseph wearing his coat of many colors. Now, Joseph, of course, is not the oldest brother. In fact, he's the 11th of 12 brothers. What happens is the other brothers are very jealous. Yeah. Their reaction is not positive at all to this development. And then Joseph says, "Brothers, I've had a dream, and in this dream, you're all bowing down before me." Now you can imagine the reaction to that one. What? Well, Joseph did what I said about 3,000 years ago. In a very ancient society, very tribal and, you know, family-oriented. But yeah, just think of this. The 11th of 12 sons says, "I'm the guy." Well, of course, the story goes on. But in Joseph's time, your identity came from your family and, you know, your tribe, if you will. But in our modern society, people seek to discover themselves. You know, who am I? What can I be? They're looking outside of their family and their tribe, if you will, their clan. Robert Bella calls this expressive individualism, and Pastor Tim Keller in New York City calls it the expressive self. So, well, let me tell you about my grandfather. My grandfather, Julius Cook, is probably pretty typical of his time. In 1886, his parents were living in Germany, what is now actually Poland, and they were farmers, and they had an outside factory job. But things got kind of rough, so they decided we're going to immigrate to the United States. And while they were coming here, his mother on the boat had another child, and then she died. So when his father got the three children to St. Paul, Minnesota, he said, "Well, I can't take care of three kids." He put my grandfather and another child up for adoption. Now, his name was Julius Mrangois. Big, long name. I won't have you try to spell it. Anyway, a Lutheran pastor and his wife adopted my grandfather, and they were George and Louise Koch. So instead of a 10-letter last name, I have a 4-letter last name. Anyway... Anyway, his father, like I say, was a Lutheran pastor in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And Julius was raised there, got a good education, in fact, a very good education. He learned to play the organ, the violin, oh yeah, and eventually graduated from college. So, you know, his world kind of opened up then as to what he could be and do. And but he decided he would be a Lutheran school teacher. Okay? And of course, his parents were very important. He went to then a Lutheran college to be a Lutheran school teacher. Christianity has always been very important in thinking about the heart and its desires and its, let's say, wants and its loves. St. Augustine, way back in the year 400, very critically examine the self, if you will, and our inner thoughts and motivations. Christians, he said, should regard their emotions as something not to be ignored or to, so to speak, stuffed or suppressed. But instead, he said, let's examine our emotions and redirect them towards God. But in the modern world, Augustine's ideas have been lost, and we go far beyond that. Now our emotions and our dreams and our desires, well, they are practically enthroned in our culture. The essence of this idea was the movie about 5 years ago, Frozen. Come on, you've all seen it how many times? 10 at least, right?
Yeah.
Well, in there's this character, and she sings a song, and she's determined to break through whatever from being the good girl in the family, and she wanted to be something else other than what her family wanted her to be. Instead, she says she was going to let go and express herself. She wouldn't hold back. Now, in traditional societies, we know, let's say if your father was a carpenter like Joseph, well, then Jesus became a carpenter. That's what you did. But in the modern world, oh yeah, we're looking much broader and bigger. And there's really something pretty good to be said here for the sovereign self. Yeah, we explore our gifts and our talents in becoming all that we can be. And of course, that itself was be all you can be. That was another advertisement for the Marines, I think. But of course, there are conflicts that develop then in being all you can be, because we desire a stellar career. And maybe that has a huge commitment then. And then we get married and we have children, and pretty soon, oh, we're constantly torn between everything we're doing in life. We don't have time for this, we don't have time for that. Feelings constantly shift. And then when your identity is based on your feelings and your desires and your career, well, that becomes very unstable. And you're torn this way and that. Establishing a Christian identity in the modern world is then not easy, because we are pulled so many directions by our emotions and desires and whatever we want. Now let's return to Joseph here just for a minute, because Joseph went on. He was sold into slavery into Egypt. He was he landed in a prison, and of course he got out of the prison by interpreting dreams, some very important dreams. And then he eventually rose up in positions to the top of the Egyptian government. And of course, he ended up being kind of the Pharaoh's right-hand man, if you want to put it that way. So when Joseph's brothers now come to Egypt after many years, they come down, they're looking for food. Well, here's Joseph now. He's no longer the brash 17-year-old young man. Oh, no. He's very much a humble servant of God. And you know, he understood what he should do and how he should direct Egypt. He was obedient to God. He served his father, his family, and his country. Now, maybe you are a person, you say, well, Pastor Cook, I always knew what I wanted to be in life. I mean, I just picked it out and I wanted to do it. And that's good. That's really good, but we are products of our culture, and that does form us. We live in a society, as I noted last week, that rejects moral absolutes, rejects God, rejects obedience, and elevates everything I want and my desires over everything, over all external influences, if you will. And, well, as as I just noted earlier, all our desires and wants and all those feelings, well, they're insufficient to guide us. They're just feelings with us. And I have this feeling today, but tomorrow I might have another feeling, completely different. Our heroes and our sheroes, well, they are not capable of bringing us to where we need to be in our culture. You know, in other words, we might like, let's say, American Girl dolls or Spider-Man or whatever the things are. But those, are, of course, are only inert things, aren't they? And it's only the veneer there of power and wealth and position, if you will, looks, success. In the end, you cannot name yourself or bless yourself. In the end, you can't name yourself or bless yourself. In other words, we can't look in the mirror for our identity. We look to our family and our community. Now, Joseph, of course, did not know Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord, but he did know that God had created him and that God ruled this world. He did know that God was with him, and that his family, all the way back to Abraham, had worshiped that God. Now in 2020, we know God's good news of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We know Jesus has forgiven our sins on the cross, and that eternal life is our inheritance. Well, in biblical terms, we are socially interdependent, if you will. We are worthy beings because we are made in the image of God, the Imago Dei. Our value is inherent. Our value comes from God. Our value is contingent in relationship to God. And thus, you know, our identity is not something we go out and make, or we craft ourselves, or we achieve. But our identity is given to us in our baptism, child of God. God approves us then through Jesus Christ. Let's hear Philippians 3:9. It is to be found in him, not having a record of my own that comes from my performance and effort, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. So, in Jesus Christ, we are adopted as children into God's family, and we have union with Christ. So our identity is received, not achieved. So the question of, who am I, is really, whose am I? Yeah, whose am I? Only if God names us and we serve God, we will be free from the enslavement of this culture, because God grants us his love on the basis of Jesus Christ, on the basis of what Jesus has done, not what we have done. God's love is then free, no strings attached. Thus, in our modern world, a unique identity is addressed by God. God did uniquely create us. We are all somewhat different, as we know from DNA study. And God has given us distinct occupations in our world. I'm the only one who can be the husband to my wife. I'm the only one who can be the father to my children. And yeah, I'm the only one who can answer the phone at 5 a.m. when my daughter calls me, says, "Dad, I need to talk." Mm-hmm. God then has chosen us and called us by name to be the men and women God wants us to be. Ephesians 4:22. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to clothe yourself with the new self, created according to the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. So the simplistic cultural narrative that we can create a great big self, a great big ego, that's an illusion. It's an utter illusion. The deeper we look within ourselves, the more sin and curved in on self we are. And thus, we cling to Jesus Christ. He provides us our identity. He makes us holy. He gives us our authentic, true self. So, do you want an identity? Do you want to know who you are? Look to Christ. Yeah, look to your Savior. He is loving, caring, compassionate, and faithful. That's the kind of identity we need yesterday, today.